We will be speaking to Stinger in a short time. Stinger's been fairly quiet early on in the season, but he's got a very good reason to rant and rave, at least up until last week. Good morning, Stinger.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning, Stinger.
Good, happy VFL year.
Yes, mate, good to speak to you the first time in 2009, and, well, you must be a happy chappy after round four. The Box Hill Hawks have been very impressive.
Oh, very happy with the team. You could tell this is going to be a good year because the way they were playing their practice games, the way the new coach has come in, it looks like he's just turned the place upside down, and I reckon it's the best side since we've been with Hawthorn.
Well, what do you think the actual change has, where's it come from? What do you think's been the big cornerstone of those changes?
I think there's more input with the Box Hill players in the team. Like, we always just used to rely on the Hawthorn players always doing the work, but, yeah, we've got younger players in the team that are keen to play for the club and the jumper. That's all I can see, and the keenness with the coach, he just speaks so well.
He's an educated man, isn't he? He's a good operator, Brendan Bolton.
Yeah, he did some sports psychology in the United States, so, yeah, and I think that might have helped too. So he's only a young bloke too, 29 years of age, yeah.
So have you seen some of the new recruits? Marco Bello seems to be creating some interest in the midfield.
Yeah, one of the last of the Mustangs, mate. So, yeah, oh, it's good to have him back. Yeah, but he's lost that. From 99, when he last played with us, we always thought he was a jockey type of player. he is solid. No, he's good to have back. It's Andrew Nicol, another former Mustang. He's on the coaching committee too. Yeah, Uze's been good. He's one of the assistant coaches down there. He's real good. Communicates well with the younger blokes.
So it's basically just turned it around from the end of last season going into this season. I think it's the best start Box Hill have had since 2004. And we know when Box Hill's form usually starts getting going, they get a bit of a roll on, Stanger. But to start with a couple of wins at this time of the year will definitely help trying to secure a spot in the final eight or even higher, depending on how your form can maintain itself.
Yeah, that's right. I think... will be very hard to beat at home this year because it seems like they just know how to play the ground so well. Like the game against Coburg, they were just outstanding. Just their pace is probably the best I've ever seen too.
Well, and it's interesting that you mentioned that the Box Hill Hawks in recent years had to rely on the Hawthorn contingent. I mean, out of most AFL clubs, I think Hawthorn are the ones that have been hit with the most injuries, especially to some of their bigger body players. So it's interesting to see that the Box Hill maintained a... well, obviously, they've recruited some better players into their Box Hill list to add some depth there, but some of those young Hawthorn players must be impressing as well.
Yeah, that's right. Josh Kennedy, he's been playing with us for the last 3 years, and he's always stood up for the club, Box Hill. A few recruits though, Kerno, Lachlan George from North Ballarat, they've been good.
So, he's a good pick-up.
Very good pick-up, so they'll be... The good thing about it, there's more Box Hill players in the team too. I think we're playing about... it's half Box Hill, half Hawthorn, I suppose, but they're really having a go, and you can tell that training, it's really good, and if you could go past in your car along Whitehorse Road, you could see a social club going up. And, yeah, I think the people looking at the club, it's going forward.
Well, that's all you want, isn't it? There's plenty of, unrest and talk about where the competition's going. It's good to see that a team like the Box Hill Hawks, who have always had a good relationship with the city of Whitehorse and generally get, higher attendance in terms of... crowd coming through the gates, but to have the social club there and making a real force for the eastern suburbs, the Box Hill Football Club have been on the front foot of all those initiatives, really.
Yeah, they have. Like, these are plans when we first went with Hawthorn, and they're finally coming together now. So, yeah, for you recruits wanting to come to the club each year, they'll see what's going on, and they'll be happy to play with the club.
So how's everything else been, mate? How's your pre-season?
Yeah, not bad, mate. Yeah, put on more extra weight.
Enjoying a nice paddock. It's good to hear.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, I've got a horse now, so that keeps me going.
Okay.
Not a jumper?
No, not a jumper. Good. It's a harness horse.
Okay.
Yeah, it should be running next month round. Name is No Cover Charge.
No Cover Charge.
Yeah, I got it because I only go to the pubs that has
one
no
word?
Cover charge.
One word or spaces?
Pardon?
One word or spaces?
Spaces.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good. All right.
Yeah. We don't want to go down that one word rubbish.
Nah, that's right. Yeah. Set 5 starts, 1 win, 2 seconds, 2 thirds. So.
That's right. It's a money spinner.
Yeah. So it's doing well.
That's really good.
Yeah. Well bred and everything.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, so next month, boys, I might ring you up and tell you when it's running next.
Please do, Stinger.
Yeah.
Well, it's been great talking to you as always.
Yep, likewise.
Thanks for calling through, mate. And make sure you keep corners because we don't get out to the Box Hill games as much as
usual. No, it's sad, isn't it?
Well, you know, 3WBC do a great job. So, you know, good luck to them, and that's the way they wanted it. But we'll get the Box Hill Hawks next week at Casey and a few away games. But, yeah, no, that's not a problem for us at all.
It'd be good to see you at the away games.
Yeah, mate, we'll catch up for a beer.
All right. Good on you, guys.
Thanks for calling through.
Bye-bye. Mate.
So there's Laurie or Stanger from Boronia?
Laurie from Boronia.
Boronia, yep.
Goal kickers up to and including round 4. We have leading on 19. He's miles in front. That's Nick Sauntner. He owns the Frosty Miller medal. I think 7 is quite a healthy amount for Nick. He's sitting on 19 goals. Matty Little and Jay Schultz are coming up second on 11, and we have a five-way tie sitting on 9 with Chris Bryan, Nathan Thompson, Russell Robertson, we call him Robbo, Pods, and Adrian Bonadeo.
Russell the Love Muscle.
Yes, yeah, so some good names on that on that list. There's only 10 between 1st and 9th, I think it is, or 8th. Sauntner, Schultz, Thompson, Robertson, Podsy Adley, all big names in the VFL.
Oh, the leading forwards, aren't they?
They are. They're all the what we call power forwards. That's the general description of those types of players these days. What we'll do...
No, I've never seen you with so many stats. It's
it's amazing what you can do when you've got spare time.
No, it's impressive. I'm enjoying the prepared version. It's absolutely fantastic. Now, let's go through the ladder because we didn't get to do that before, and obviously the ladder is a bit of an indication of where teams are going and how their fortunes have been so far for the start of the season. I mentioned Williamstown are on top.
Yep, and that's their best start since 2004.
The only team not to lose yet. They've played 3 games, had the bye, so they're sitting there tied with the Northern Bulldogs and Port Melbourne. Now, with the bye, it's going to come down to match ratios and everything like that.
Oh, don't actually the match ratios, and that is all over the place.
So, the Bulldogs, though, they're 3-1 with... Port Melbourne separated by a percentage there. Then there's a bit of a logjam here.
Before you get down, Northern Bulldogs, since 2006, they are 11-3 to round 4. So continuing their great starts to the season. Port Melbourne, 3-1, best start since 2005.
Now we're going into the big logjam of teams here. So we've got Sandringham, Coburg, Box Hill, Werribee, Collingwood and Casey in order.
Mm-hmm. And North Ballarat. Two wins.
And North Ballarat, yeah.
Too many teams on 2 wins. But some of them have played 4 games, some of them have played 3 games. So they've sorted them by percentage this time rather than match ratio, which was the way the AFL went when they had their buyers.
When was match ratio taken out of the ladder? Because that used to be part of it.
When they got rid of the buy.
Okay.
So when... Who was the last team to come in? I can't remember.
Rio?
Yeah, probably 1995.
Or Port Power.
Port Power, 1997, I think. Yeah, that sounds about right. Okay, Sandringham. They're actually, on same as last season, they were 2-2. It's their worst start since 2004. So 2-2 is not a bad worst start. If you can do that every year, you're having a consistent. Your consistency is great. Well, Coburg Tigers.
Well, since you've got a bit of stats there, let's take it back to the top of the ladder team, Williamstown. No real surprises there, I guess, after round four. Brad Gotch was, they got a big point to prove in 2009, and some of their recruits, and Chris Egan, has been pretty impressive in the games that we've seen so far.
They were excellent against Collingwood.
Yeah, Guy Keith was absolutely fantastic that day. I think in terms of individual performances, we haven't seen someone so dominating, giving out three votes. Guy O'Keefe picked up, 34 possessions, kicked five goals from playing as a rotating midfielder. So it was a pretty big effort. And, on the road for redemption, I guess, for the Seagulls, they were pretty confident of their chances last year and were disappointed to go down the way they did. But Brad Gotch got the guys up and firing early. Jim mentioned, I think it's their best start since 2004, is it?
Yeah, since the cut-off point was 2004 from the start of that time, and they've achieved more this season so far than most of the other seasons.
Now, you'd imagine that Williamstown will probably be too strong for the luckless Dolphins. We've got to...
We'd assume so, after seeing... we've seen Frankston twice so far.
We think
they've been disappointing on both occasions.
Yeah,
I've seen Frankston twice. Because I saw him last Sunday.
Now, the thing with the Dolphins, we need to talk about that, because they're looking for 2,000 members, so make sure that we don't forget that one when we're talking about the Dolphins. They're after 2,000 members, paid-up members, so if you're a friend or supporter of the Frankston Football Club, dig deep and put your name on the line and sign up. I don't know how much membership, certainly. I think they're about $60 or $70.
Yeah, something like that. But one thing you can be guaranteed when you go to Frankston is a great atmosphere.
Well, yeah, exactly right. And, it's not looking too good financially for the Dolphins, but they're trying to secure their future, so...
Yeah, well, they lost their grandstand a couple of years ago, which was a bit of a shock. That means they have to now spend money on something they could have been putting into other good uses.
Exactly right. So just contact the club or... I think it's frankstonfc.com.au for membership details there. They're looking for, 2,000 signed-up members for 2009. So, you probably think, 2,000 members shouldn't be that hard. It just goes to show just how tough some of the VFL clubs are doing it at the moment. The Northern Bullants, well, they finish in second position, and they continue to get better, don't they?
Well, they've been traditionally good at the start of the season since 2006.
I guess they're a bit of an unknown, really, aren't they, the Northern Bullants, because they're one of those sides that you just don't know what to really expect. They've seemed to have recruited well once again, though.
Well, they picked up Ryan Ulan this week.
Well, yeah, that was...
it was a bit of a shock.
Yeah, not a good one for the Dream Team, but no. He's back in the VFL this weekend, so you're going to probably see that with Carlton. They've got a big group of players all at the one level, just not so much fringe players, but... players who are in and out and
interesting, they've promoted Yaron into the Carlton AFL team, and Bilney was probably the one who stood out in the game as a roving forward goal sneak type player.
Well, he's Eddie Betts' cousin, I think, Wes Bilney. So
and he played very well on Sunday. But they've gone with Yaron, which is no disrespect to Yaron. Both players played very well on the weekend.
Well,
so.
We saw Yaron play very well against Port Melbourne as well. His defensive skills and has that deadly closing speed that's become a feature of defensive football inside your forward 50. So I think, you look at Eddie Betts, and Chris Yaron, in what I've seen, leaves Eddie Betts behind. Yeah. So he will be an exciting talent. That's Chris Yaron for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Port Melbourne, 3-1. They were so disappointing against the Northern Bullants, but three wins after that, so we can't really say too much there about the Borough continuing to stand up. And as you mentioned, Bonadio's amongst the goals once again in 2009. Themselves looking to seek some revenge for a disappointing grand final loss. I guess if the Port Melbourne would finish third at the end of the season, they'd be very happy with that, Jim.
Mm-hmm. And they've got the weekend off this week. They've got the bye, and Gary Oz has given the players... a bit of a mid-season break.
What do you reckon they'll do?
They've been given the day off, so they're free to do anything they like.
Maybe go around the golf?
Yep. Oh, I hope so. Yeah, don't tip over any toilets while you're there if you can help it. I spoke to Gary Ayres during the week, and he was okay with it. He had no problems with us missing his phone call.
Well, I guess we have to get Gary Ayres on the program again.
Yep, he said he'll be available. He's having a break today.
I'm sure he is.
So he said,
last time Gary Ayres was having a break, we saw him up in the grandstand doing some scouting of his opposition.
Yep, and we have to thank Tyson Cruz,
who
became the RACV home help.
He's currently leading the Casey Radio Player of the Year Award.
He is.
He's picked up a massive 9 votes.
10,000 votes.
Yeah, he picked up 9 votes.
There's only 9 available.
For his best on-ground performance out at Preston.
Yep, if anyone... interesting what he did. He actually, I left my lights on, and he jump started us.
Now hang on.
When it was pouring down with rain.
There's a bit of a jinx going on with your life at the moment, Mr. Hines. Now did you leave your lights on?
Leave my lights on.
Did one of those angry leprechauns come into your car and take your distributor cap off and turn your lights
on? No, it wasn't the distributor cap. It's actually the radiator cap. You cannot drive for 5 days around in a car, and the radiator caps stay where it was. There's too many vibrations, bumps and things. Just driving up the driveway, there's a, you know, the jolts there would knock the, would have meant the radiator cap would have been on the road and crushed by everyone driving past. But anyway, thank you, Tyson Cruz.
Yep.
Much appreciated. We didn't know who you were at the time. I had a word with Gary Ayres, and he said, he's a great fellow, and he'll do things like that. He'll be the good Samaritan and, you know, help out wherever he can.
One of the neighbours who actually lived on the street
couldn't
spare 5 minutes of...
couldn't spare 5 minutes.
Did he even wind down his window, or did he just give you advice on the car while he was...
I'm too busy. And then he sat up the road for 5 minutes, probably chatting on the phone. He could have done that while I was
Probably watching to see what your reaction was going to be when he was going to help.
Tell you what, there might be a Molotov cocktail.
No. Yep. If anything happens there, Jim, it's going to be very careful.
But no one knows the address of the car.
But we're going to leave that one totally alone.
If every house, I know the exact one, but if every house in that area is Molotov cocktail, then it won't be. Sandringham. They've continued their great starts to the season, but 2-2 is their worst start since 2004.
Well, they lost the last two. I was actually talking of mothers and Mother's Day weekend. Had a lovely chat with Goose McGuire's mum.
Okay.
She called through to work and I picked her. I saw her name and I was like.
So she introduced her as, "I'm Matthew McGuire's mum. Can I talk to you?"
No, not so much like that, mate. Not so much like that, but more of a case of just through the system, you just notice some things and where she was from and.
And you put two and two together and asked the question.
I don't even know why at all, just it came up. But, talking about how he's been doing and we're both surprised that he hasn't made the step up from VFL level just yet. But, how long do you think is he going to need to stand up and show that his body's recovered? Like, it's now around
five. How can you drop anyone from the St Kilda defence?
Oh, look, no, I agree, but...
It's impossible at the moment. They're so tight and so well-knit that...
Did Hutchton just walk straight into that? Is he selected for Monday night's game?
I'm sure he isn't.
Okay.
I'm sure he isn't. I'm sure they haven't made any changes. They've brought in three players, McAvoy, two others, Raph Clark's and the other one. And there's a third one. Might be David Armitage, I can't remember.
Well, talking of Clarks.
But I'm not a St Kilda supporter, so I don't look at these things. I glaze over them. Cool. But I didn't... I just noticed McAvoy and Raph Clark was the two of the ones. But no one was dropped. So Hudson definitely wasn't the other one.
Xavier Clark going down last
week.
Yes, doing his knee was not a good thing at all.
Yeah, there's been talk. You'll make a long, 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 long list of injuries, cross off the ones that Raph Clark and Xavier Clark have achieved over their footballing career, and there's, like, death is, I think, the only remaining one, and you wouldn't want to wish that upon anybody.
We hope he gets a speedy recovery. The last big name player to do his knee in the VFL competition tried to sue the ground. Do you remember that? Effort by Courtney Johns.
Okay, yes. Yeah, the Beast.
The Beast. The Beast from the East. He did his knee, I think, at Port Melbourne, from
it
memory.
It was. I saw that on TV. I don't know why I was watching it on TV, but I think that was the weekend I crashed my car.
It may have well have been,
yeah,
actually.
And we had the Saturday off due to circumstances that were beyond my control. Yeah, unfortunately, I was too busy crashing cars rather than driving to the ground.
Now, the 23 rule seems to be still in place.
Best rule that they've introduced in the VFL for a long time. Apart from the kicking backwards, the marking in defence, that sort of thing. There's been some good ones in the VFL. They should be congratulated on some of their rules.
But it was a big example of it, Collingwood versus North Ballarat, with that kicking behind rule. They nearly play for offside, don't they? The way the defence the forwards will keep on moving up and the defence follows them, because you get the ball all by yourself, you can't go backwards half the time, so...
Yeah, it's a good rule. I like it. It keeps the game alive a lot longer.
Now, we've got to quickly keep going through the rest of these teams. And
next
then
team, Coburg Tigers.
The Coburg Tigers, well...
They're just floundering at the moment.
It might be a little bit early to really, write any teams off or anything like that. We're not here to have pot shots with anybody. We're just going through and giving our opinions, and we've seen quite a few of the teams so far. The Coburg Tigers, on last week's performance, would have to be very disappointed with...
Most definitely.
...with how they went. They probably wouldn't have a much stronger team on the park.
It just goes to show...
And the Casey Scorpions are kids.
It just goes to show how different teams can perform differently. Coburg Tigers had majority of Richmond listed players on the ground. Casey had a lot of Casey listed players, and Casey came out on top.
But anyone who has a forward line and their three key forwards kick more than three goals, you're going to win a game of football. Jack Watts, Matt Moore, and Matt Muckle, Juice Newton kicked five. For the Scorpions, they're always going to be very hard to try and counteract.
Yeah, but having Cousins, Cochin, Simon.
Even players like Thursfield and...
You're looking at,
Sylvester.
You'd assume Cousins in a game of VFL football would pick up 50 possessions, you would assume, given full game time. He obviously didn't have the full game time.
They like to write off Ben Cousins, people. I don't know if you heard any of the reports, but he was picking up easy kicks at the back of the pack.
Yeah, but that's what he was there to do. He wasn't there to be body on body. He was there to get through a game of football, get game time into his hamstrings, and just build up numbers in in minutes. He wasn't there to pick up 50 possessions, although he was capable of doing it. He was not going to because of his what he was there to do.
I don't know if the Ben Cousins show is the right thing for the VFL. Why the security?
No, I have no idea.
In case someone's going to go out and stab Ben Cousins.
That's a joke.
Nobody's got to for it. That's just separating him once again from the pack.
That's probably why
Tony Lockett. Yeah. Did Tony Lockett have security? I know Tony Lockett's a bigger man, but.
Yeah. Brian Harris. Remember Brian Harris? Who's now Brian Lake. He was the fullback who was man-on-man with Tony Lockett that game for Port Melbourne. He's gone on to bigger and better things, hasn't he?
But when you put it out there, though, you wouldn't get a bigger name. Nathan Buckley didn't walk around with security guards.
That's right.
And what puts him, remember the crowd they got out at Box Hill against Williamstown?
Yep, and then was that Casey game, Sandy game, where there was thousands of people. Yeah. That was probably the biggest crowd I've seen at Sandy.
So, come on. Whose decision was that?
That's right.
Is that more about the people going to Coburg games, or is that more
I don't know.
Ben Cousins?
It's a circus. It has been a circus since he put his name up.
If he's going to carry on like that, it's going to backfire the Ben Cousins experiment.
Yep. Box Hill Hawks.
Big thumbs up.
Best start to round four since 2004 onwards.
And as we mentioned during the program, any win for the Box Hill Hawks is a big win. at this time of the year because they've been facing down the barrel in recent years. They've beaten the Coburg side. And who else did they get their win against? The Vauxhall Hawks.
Good question.
They lost last weekend, but...
yeah, they lost to Werribee in an upset. That was an upset because Werribee played terrible against Williamstown. And Box Hill played very, very good football against memory's failing me at the moment.
Yeah, we'll have to...
I'm 50 years old, so you could have taken into account, you know, seen
senilism?
Yeah, a word like that. I'll just make up words as we go along.
We'll have to confirm that in the ad break. The Werribee Tigers, well, to be 2-1, good win last week against the Box Hill Hawks at home. Yep. A lot's going to rely on... I guess Nathan Thompson and just how many goals he can kick in that forward line. So,
yep, the Werribee Tigers 2-1 is the best season since 2005. They were 3-0 at that stage, and they also went on to be runners up that season. I think they played Geelong in the 2005 Grand Final.
They did.
Yep, they've slipped. We'll go on to Collingwood. Exactly the same as last year, 2-2. And we all know what happened at the end of the season. They fell away dramatically as the season grew longer.
Well, injuries will play a big part in Collingwood's success this year. Still, Sidebottom was a name that's been mentioned in the extended bench. So, big opportunity for him. We've seen a lot of him this year. Jim, how have you rated his season so far?
It's been serviceable. He's still 18 years old, I think. So he's got lots and lots of time on his hand. He played very well in last year's grand final, which isn't any secret. Kicked 10 goals in the TAC Cup grand final.
Now we've
Most of the players that got drafted in that from that particular game have gone on to be very, very serviceable AFL players.
We've got him Tin Bottom, aren't we now?
Tin Bottom or Bottom Side. He's playing for Collingwood. He should be called Bottom Side.
Now, we've got Casey Scorpions. Well,
Casey Scorpions. They've actually just treading water at the moment.
No,
you'd 2-2.
Oh, I mean, in terms of results, but... from where they went from round one to where they are now.
Yeah, take round one out and they're probably sitting in the top four.
Exactly right. So big turnaround there by Peter German. And it takes me back to that spray he gave at three-quarter time round one when he mentioned to a couple of the boys that they're
not
playing.
Yeah, you're not Narry Warren now. Yeah. What Narry Warren? My pick on my place of residence. They're very good people at Narry Warren.
He gave it to them with some... harsh truths and some realities about where they were, and you know, they've really responded. And I think Peter German's a genuine coach. He's getting the best out of those young kids, and I think they're not playing this week, but they've had 8 or 9 debutants that have just come through the system to get the cipher through 125 players and come out with a roster of 45.
Be
competitive, you say.
It's a wonderful achievement. Matty Moore's been the best.
Yeah.
He's been very good. Strong pair of hands.
Yeah, sticky fingers.
Vice-like. One of the things the Casey Scorpions do pride upon themselves is their VFL-listed players. They go for the best that they can get.
Or Silvani.
Doesn't matter whether they're 18 years old or 23 years old, they get the best out of their VFL players.
Well, Silvani's continuing to improve.
Yep.
And the Great Wall.
Yeah, James Wall, been doing very, very well. They were absolutely sensational against Frankston. In a gale force, when the gale force wind was blowing, they just stood firm back in defence. If it wasn't for their great defending in the first two of the first three quarters, they could have been blown out of the water. And they stood tall. They took marks when other players weren't taking marks, obviously the Frankston forwards. And they were very good.
And then we
they kicked goals against the wind on that day.
Yeah, in the last quarter. They kicked 2-2 to, I think, 1-3. But the final three teams...
North Ballarat.
Oh, sorry, North Ballarat.
Yeah, they're 2-1. Why they're sitting in 10th position, 2-1, is a bit of a worry, actually. But last year's Grand Premiers, so obviously they're going to improve. And it's pretty hard to improve on 2-1.
Well, I was just saying we don't want to write teams off you, Jim, but 11th, 12th and 13th, I know they're trying to do it in the AFL already, but you couldn't see Geelong, Frankston or the Bendigo Bombers really turning their season around too quickly. I mean, they need to register a win, first of all. They're only 2 games out of the 8 as we speak, but North Ballarat, Casey, Collingwood and Werribee are all showing a little bit more life in them than the three teams at the bottom. The Cats, well, they have a curtain raiser this morning. Hopefully, I think that's going to be the first one of the season, the first curtain raiser, I think.
Oh, we've got to get our tips in before the games.
Yeah, 10:40 it will be kicking off down there at Skilled Stadium. So, you just hope for the competition's sake that Geelong get a couple of wins and at least competitive. Yep. The Dolphins, well, as I mentioned, they need some members. So as much as they're dwindling down the bottom, it's a time to get behind the Dolphins and join the march. Join Brian Mace and all the officials and players and...
Get behind Shannon Grant.
Get behind Shannon Grant and...
Yep, and the, all the players. Justin Berry, the skunk. Get behind. They've got a great midfield and it's a time their midfield fired now. They've had 4 weeks.
They've got the talent on the park, that's for sure.
But with Geelong and Frankston, both of the teams are subjected to their worst start since 2004. Bendigo Bombers, they've been just continuously poor at the start of the season.
Well, they're pretty
since 2006, they've won 2 games from for the first 4 rounds, and they've lost 13 games. 2-13.
I thought you were going to say to me they've won 2 games in the last 3 years, because you would have gone pretty close to that stat as well.
For the whole season. Yeah. Well, in 15 games, they're 2-13. That's not good enough. You don't make finals if you're going to do that.
Well, we didn't really do a crystal ball sort of situation, Jim, at the start of the season. But we'll be in here this time every Saturday morning. Who do you think out of those teams are going to drop out of the 8, and which teams will go into the top 8? And I might get your your tip on who you think some of the better chances might be for the listener at this stage.
Casey should improve. North Ballarat will improve. The other 3, forget it. To drop out, you'd assume at this stage probably Werribee and Coburg at this stage.
Yeah.
If it happens that way.
Yeah.
But the season's been all over the place this season. There's so many variables. One week you tick certain boxes, and next week you don't tip those same boxes.
Well, I think Collingwood and Werribee will drop out of 7 and 8. And,
North Ballarat. North Ballarat. Bendigo Bombers. They're probably sitting third.
Well, North Ballarat will quite easily go into that top 8 somewhere. Yep. Just don't know if the Scorpions can apply enough sustained pressure over the length of a season to try and jump into the top 8. But we'll watch and see.
Yeah, Casey cannot win this weekend because they're not playing. So they're not going to climb any. They're going to sit 9th. They'll probably drop to 10th if North Ballarat beat Bendigo Bombers. That game's played at Stawell, as far as I know.
Yep.
No home ground advantage there. And, There's no way Casey can stay 9th if North Ballarat win.
Now, any players been jumping out and saying I'm going to be a chance of picking up the VFL best and fairest after round 5?
It's probably too early to call that one.
Well, Valencia, I think's been pretty impressive in the games we've seen. Unfortunately, we haven't had a proper even spread of actual games to watch, have we? We've seen a lot of the Collingwood side, we've seen Williamstown once or twice. I think this year it's going to be dominated by AFL players, though, because Guy O'Keefe will pick up the 3 votes against Collingwood and stuff like that. Probably a little bit early to tell, but we'll keep Jim up to date with that one. We'll get his tips in the next couple of weeks who he thinks is going to win the Liston medal.
Yep.
And you mentioned the goal kickers before. Sortner is still on top, isn't he?
Oh, what? He's leading by 8.
Okay.
The second, Little and Schultz are on 11, Sortner's on 19, and there's 5 players on 9.
Okay.
So that's those players that are within 10 of Nick Sortner. And at this early stage, an eight goal lead at this stage is these miles there in front.
Well, could he get the ton?
He's 19-4, probably. It's probably hidden that way, but
5 around.
Yeah, probably not this year.
I think the most he's kicked is like 79 goals or something, I think, from memory, maybe in the 80s, but...
The most?
Yeah.
No, I think he's kicked a ton.
No, not at VFL level.
Okay.
The last person to kick a ton in the VFL, quote me if I'm wrong, listeners, and give us a call and tell me I am, with Shane Smith in 1992.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Kicked a ton for the Springvale side. Now, Jimbo, we've been babbling for nearly 50, or what's that, an hour and 5 minutes, so we've only got about 10 minutes to wrap up the program before Bryce takes over the reins and brings up to date with all the KC Junior Footy League information.
Five games for our tips.
Yes, yes.
Now, Geelong versus Werribee.
Are you going to be using Chris Weaver's guide to your tips?
I didn't get onto the internet last night, so.
Well, Geelong versus Werribee, the ABC game. It's the 10:40 AFL curtain raiser.
Yep, not five. They've played nine times since 2004. Geelong lead 5-4. Werribee should win this game. Geelong have a shadow of their former selves.
Ponty Adley against his old team.
I don't think it'd make any difference. I think Geelong have they've slipped remarkably, and Werribee won very well last week against Box Hill.
Well, I tipped Geelong last week against Port Melbourne, and they were in front of three-quarter time, in front of their loyal, faithful fans down there at Skilled Stadium. I'm going to tip the Cats to notch up their first win. Traditionally, Werribee don't play too well at Skilled Stadium. That was from the Ponty Adley era, so things could change quite easily there. So I'm going to choose the Cats for a bit of an upset there against the Tigers. Our game, our broadcast game, the ABC game, the only other game on Saturday afternoon, only two games today, and that is Sandringham versus the Northern Bull Ants. So make sure you switch it on to the ABC, turn them down, and turn 97.7 FM up.
So no around the ground scores today?
Well, we'll do the AFL if we've got any action there.
Yeah, there's a couple of games on today in the AFL. No VFL games with us calling the Sandringham Bull Ants game that starts at 12:45. We kick off.
Yep.
Pre-game. And then I think the game starts at 1:10.
It does. Now, before we jump in and give the tips for Sandringham versus Northern Bull Ants, who are building up a pretty fierce rivalry at the moment, those two clubs, you sent me an email. It's great to see that there's some night football happening on round 19, Jimbo.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The Tigers' corresponding game against the Cats at Chirnside Park will be under lights.
Be great. And around 19.
Around 19.
Something to look forward to. We'll have to pencil that in. See if we can call it.
Yeah, we'll be down there. We haven't been to Chirnside Park yet in 2009.
Had a chance and we blew it because we didn't blow it. It was a Box Hill away game, and there's only really room for one, maybe two commentary teams there. Sandringham versus Bull Ants. They play 10 times against each other. Sandringham lead 6-4, so that's fairly close, and When Sandringham win, they win very, very comfortably. Their average winning margin is 57 points. On the other hand, when the Bull Ants win, it's guaranteed a close game. The last three wins against Sandringham have been by 6 points, 3 points and 4 points. And their first win way back in, I think, about 2005 was by 44 points. So average winning margin over those four games, 14.3.
So, this is going to be an interesting game of footy. The Bull Ants obviously aligned with the Blues, have a filter of experience coming there through there. Houlihan, Bentley returning to the senior squad. Against the St Kilda aligned Zebras, Maguire, as we were speaking about earlier, they're at centre half back, young Jack Stephen running around, Lee Fisher. Gee, who are you tipping?
I'm going for the Bull Ants. They were very impressive last week. And I think Sandringham has slipped since round one. That was the last time we saw them play, wasn't it?
It was, yeah.
Yep, no, I think they've slipped. We haven't seen them play, obviously, since then, and they were very impressive against Casey in round one to the tune of 97 points. No, 103 points. It should have been 97. It was a goal after the siren.
One thing I do like about the Sandringham side is their strong defence, and I think they can blanket the Northern Bull Ants' goal-scoring options. Mm-hmm. Be interesting to see where Ryan Houlihan, who's returning from the Carlton side,
yep,
when he runs out there on Saturday. So, having a quick look, there's, I think, 12 listed St Kilda players and about 8 listed Carlton players in that one, so it should be a good game of footy.
Yep. North Ballarat versus Bendigo. 8 times these two teams have met. North Ballarat are miles in front, 7-1. Bendigo haven't won since way back in about 2005 when they won by 98 points. Average winning margin by North Ballarat, 28 points. You don't worry about the average winning margin for Bendigo because it's 98 points.
Well, it's at Stowell Central Park in Stowell, the home of the Stowell Gift, 2 o'clock on Sunday afternoon. You can't see the Bendigo Bombers turning their season around.
Not with a 7-1 deficit.
Young Brent Prismal will be one of the highlights for the Bendigo Bombers returning.
Great to see him returning.
Returning from injury.
Hit his knee last year in the semi, won the finals.
Won the final,
against St Kilda.
9 months it's taken him to come back.
That's a great effort to come back. And he was, I won't say he was dropped by Geelong, but he was given the opportunity by Essendon to continue his AFL career. Good on him. Good on the Essendon Football Club for doing that too.
Now, we're heading down to Frankston Park on Mother's Day Sunday. Frankston versus Willie.
Yeah, these two teams are 7-1 in favour of Williamstown. 8 times they've met, and it's a blowout to Williamstown. No matter where they play, they seem to have they get victory. And their average winning margin is just 28 points, so a lot of close games there. If they do have a blowout, it's by the tune of 65 or 74 points. Otherwise, it's a 3-goal deficit.
Dean Limbach's been selected in that. AFL Victoria, if they want to get serious about it, they need to reduce the interchange benches and give us...
To 8.
Well,
how many do they give us? They give us about 10.
Well, they should remove the players who are on the extended AFL list.
Yep.
And just have it with players that have a genuine chance of playing, seriously. Or even why does Frankston need to have 7 players? They've got 9 players on their bench, so 4 of them aren't going to play. And you want to have a bit of a chat about who's been selected or not, you won't even know until game time who's walking out there. For Williamstown, yeah, they'll go 4-0.
They will. Definitely. And Frankston, 0-4. 0-5.
Yeah, they'll be desperate for the bye.
Very, 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 very poor.
We've got our final game.
Yep, Collingwood versus Box Hill. They've met once on last year. Collingwood were victorious 17-10, 112 to Box Hill, 13-8, 86. I think Box Hill will change that around.
Well, they're tipping the Hawks.
I reckon they've been good this year. They one slip up last week. They're allowed to lose, but I don't think they'll lose against Collingwood. Collingwood have been very good. Definitely have been very good. We've seen them in all but one of their games.
Well, if this, obviously Collingwood playing Monday night, there's going to be a couple of changes to their selected list here, but if they go Stanley, Dawes, Cook, Rocker, Brian, Medhurst in their forward line...
Medhurst won't play. Not in the VFL.
But I'm just...
If he doesn't play for the AFL Collingwood side, he's not going to play for the VFL team. I can tell you that.
All right.
I hope I'm right.
Well, Heath Shaw's also another player there for Collingwood.
Yep.
We've seen Collingwood 3 times, I think. And that's their strongest 22, depending on the final players who get a run there. But they've been pretty impressive as well. You know, players like Chris Pendleby and Hunt, he was good. But I've been impressed with Francis and young Blair, the former Morris Medal winner of 2008.
The byes this week, Casey, Port and Coburg. Neither of those 3 teams will win this weekend, and they won't lose either.
So make sure you tune in from 12:45 this afternoon for the big game, Sandringham versus the Northern Bull Ants, and then 1 o'clock on Sunday, Frankston versus Williamstown live from Frankston Park.